Good morning, everybody. Or good afternoon, or whatever it is. It's morning still. I think last time I started off good afternoon, and like everybody got on my nerves about that. Okay. Speaking of not letting people get on your nerves. Okay. So, let's take a look here. We're going to go through the Rambam. Rambam is a portal into the discussions in the other Rishonim Gemara as to exactly what's going on in this case over here in our Gemara to summarize the ideas of when the animal needs to be replaced, when the master can say, Reishal Chalafanecha, etc., etc., etc. So, we'll read through the Rambam, and we'll go prat by prat. I'm not going to read through the whole thing once quickly, Bikias, because I know then we're just going to get bogged down in 1,000 different things. So, we'll just go through it prat by prat. Hasocher asa behema. One rents an animal. Okay, I kid you not, people are medayik the hay in ha behema. To tell you that it specifically is referring to a particular case. We'll get to that in due time, though. V'chalsa, and it got ill. What does it mean to get ill? So, you have the Mishnah. The Mishnah refers to this case as Hivrika. Hivrika in the Gemara is interpreted with two different words. Mainstream Rishonim, so Rashi, Rosh, many others say that there's two possible illnesses. One is a blindness, and one is having some sort of worms in the feet of the animal. Just to note, the Magid Mishnah, in interpreting the word chalsa according to the Rambam, states, Umefarish begemara hivrika shehisliu ragleha. That is the case of having worms in the foot. He doesn't mention the blindness case. There is an opinion, cited in the Mefarshei Talmud, that according to the Magid Mishnah, chalsa can only mean that case, because if the animal was blind, it would be too much of an illness. As we'll see, the Magid Mishnah tries to limit the impact of the illness in terms of how it will control the animal. There are others, by the way, who interpret both languages in the Gemara in one of the two ways. Specifically, there's a commentary which is Miyuchas Laritva. Says that actually both words in the Gemara actually refer to blindness. So does Aviskas also refer to blindness? And you can discuss it. There's a whole discussion in the Yerushalmi as well. What does the Yerushalmi mean? And all sorts of back and forths. Now, in terms of this actual illness, if you look amongst the Rishonim, it's clear that in various Rishonim, it's clear that they are not complete, meaning if the illnesses would completely debilitate the animal in a way that it cannot perform the work, that would be, say many Rishonim, equivalent to the case of Nishbara o Mesa, in which you do have to replace the animal. But rather here, these illnesses do not completely debilitate. They may make it harder, they may make it slower, whatever the case may be. We'll explore more of the lumdus behind it afterwards. You can see, for example, the Ritva is very strong about this. Rashi, whatever the case may be. The thing is like this. So in terms of actually what does the Rambam hold, we have the Magen Mishnah seems to read it as equivalent to the Gemara of the Hivrika. And again, some people will say either blinded or Hitliu Ragleha, some people say Dafka Hitliu Ragleha, some people say anything that's along the lines of that, and that's why the Rambam doesn't specify. However, if you look at the Rambam and Perasha Mishnayis, Rambam and Perasha Mishnayis explains Chalsa, explains Yivrika in the Mishnah as Choli Michal Yeha Behemos, that it's unable to go. It's unable Lahaloch. If that's the case, it seems that Chalsa, and this is really the simple way to read the Rambam, you see it in various Mefarshi HaRambam, but just some of the places that I saw it, if you wanted to know. And it's mainly Achronish, interestingly. You don't see sort of the earlier Mefarshei HaRambam really go this way, even though it seems to be the simple way of the Rambam, that Chalsa is absolute. And if Chalsa is absolute, so you have that in again, many of the later Mefarshei HaRambam. And if that's the case, we'll explore why it would be different then if the animal died or was broken, if it's in fact absolute and that it cannot do the work at all. Next case of Nishtate.
Which profession was it?
You can see it in Merkavas HaMishnah, Evan HaAzel, Shira of David, Otzim Mefarshei HaTalmud, and everything's sourced there, which is probably another 10 places. And there, they all explain the word Chalsa this way, and they say it applies to all cases of Choli, even if the Choli is completely debilitating to the animal. Okay, sorry, I skipped that. It's true, I started on that. Okay, now, to continue on. So, next case, Onishtatis, or it became insane. So the source of this, of course, is found based on a Braisa, the Tosefta. It's really Tosefta 7.5, which is quoted in the Gemara. You can see it at the bottom of the Amud, at the top of the next Amud, Amayin Chesem Beis, Ayin Chesem Aleph. And that's an interesting case because here is, we're not going to discuss this at length here. We'll discuss it at length when we're dealing with the Ravid's comment on Nishtatis later on. And that's really what the case is. You could technically have argued that this was another way to, you know, of saying chalsa. I mean, even if it was nishtatis, and that's just an outgrowth, but it clearly is from the Gemara. There's no question that that's the case, but the question of how and this would fit in with the other cases of chalsa, or how distinct might it be, is a discussion, again, that we're going to have later in terms of defining what's wrong with chalsa and why is it different than meso nishpara. Okay. O'nil k'chal avoras ha-melech, afal pish ein sofa lachsar. So let's get to the case. This is the case of angaria discussed in the Mishnah, when it's taken by a government party, and we say afal pish ein sofa lachsar. What does the word ein sofa lachsar mean? So first of all, the psak of the Rambam here, who does not differentiate between sofa lachsar and ein sofa lachsar, is against Rav in the Gemara. Just follow Shmuel, as we're going to see. So Ramban explains this based on Yerushalmi, and he basically says, if you look at the Yerushalmi on this Mishnah here, he says there's two really Amorim there, and it seems that there's two understandings of Angaria, one where you can bargain with the king to get it back, and one where you can't bargain with the king to get it back. So She'ena Choseres is no matter what you do, no matter what you say, it's not coming back. And the truth is, one, and the simplest way of reading the Rambam is, afal pisha ein sofa lachsar, means it's never going to come back, no matter what you do, no matter what hishtadlus you have. And for this, you can look to other Rishonim like Tosfos, although there's a discussion in Tosfos, in Bederach Halichasa. But within the sheet of Rabbeinu Hananel, this is clearly what we're referring to, that it's never going to be coming back. It seems like in the other Tosfos as well, it's going to be like that. Nimuke Yosef rules like this, as we said, Ramban explains it this way. On the other hand, there are those who disagree. Ritva understands not returning as not returning during the time frame, and this is basically what seems to be the understanding of Rashi, the way that he explains the case of Angaria later on. Again, if you want to see it in Rashi inside, Omer lahorei shalchal afanecha, shekein derech Angaria notoch hamor shazel mahalach balei achareha. And you can get it back afterwards. So that's presumably what Rashi is going to be saying alongside this Ritva over here, is to say that it's only kept until the government finds another one, and it will be able to be gotten back. Now, within that, there's a question, which is probably what you're going to ask, which is this something that you need to chase after and you need to discuss and you need to fight for, or is it just randomly returned? Some make it sound like it's really randomly returned. So it's Eino Choseres within the first within the time frame that's necessary. Necessary to meaning. Let's say the Skiris was for 4 days. It's only going to be returned in 5 days, and the king is going to send it back on its own.
So then, what would halacha mean?
So that's the case of Eino Choseres according to those Rishonim.
Right, but I'm asking. So what's the difference between that and never getting it back? I don't understand.
Right.
Who cares?
So
when you get it back, I mean, if you're saying that Shmuel holds in his Eino Choseres, if Seir Shachal Panacha, and that means you don't pay for it, then who cares whether you get it back after the Manas Heiros or it never get back at all? It's useless to you.
So it could be that you'd be making it up afterwards, and we'll have the question of whether or not it needs to be paid for, right? Of whether or not it needs to be paid for, which we'll see, right? The Rivet Rambam,
so not in. It's okay.
Right, but in terms of in defining the term, but okay, what. Right. I mean, it's clear also, though, from most Rishonim, though, that you actually have to work on this behalf. And it seems to be that most people understand Rashi, that yes, even when it's being returned after a few days, and there are those who write that it mamish seems to be a few days, there are those who interpret Rashi that it's even being returned within the rental period, just later on in the rental period, and that this is a significant delay, whereas the case of Choseres is mamish, like you're going to get it back in like 2 hours. Or something like that, but that's a little hard to understand as to how those would be different.
To the first understanding of saying it's never going to return, what does the renter care if it's going to be never returned or not returned? He only cares about his rental period.
That was his question.
Right. So can you clarify it again?
So just in terms of figuring out the terms, obviously, first of all, if it's never returned, then, you know, we might be more likely to say it's considered like mesa as opposed to just being unavailable for the rental. Like, we'll see, again, when we get to the svaros of this sort of more. But also, again, depending on whether or not, you know, it's being paid for that amount of time or not being paid for that amount of time, it could depend. But more, we're just defining the term for now as to whether or not this is actually the case. And again, if you could make up the steros afterwards, meaning if it's being returned the day after the steros, And again, we can think of cases of Kamblanas, we can think of cases of Schiris Yom, will you be making it up or not? If it's never returning, there's not a chance to do that. If it is returning, then you can already discuss that. But just in terms of figuring out these cases, again, so you have this basic machlokas, one group of Rishonim saying it's never returning, another group of Rishonim saying it is returning at some point, maybe that's during the Schiris, maybe that's after the Schiris. The truth is you have to remember that in these circumstances, we don't actually know when it is going to be returning at the time that it's taken. We know that it may be returned at some later date, not when that's going to be exactly, that's exactly what's going on. This simple read of Rambam, I mean, I don't even remember if I saw anybody who said that Rambam was actually talking about that it's going to be returned soon after. I just don't think you can possibly read that. Again, even within Rashi, though, as we said, it may very well be that you do need to chase after it. That seems to be the simple read of Rashi. Go. So, just one thing. It's also the case of the Rambam is right. Hasochar zameim vichal so nishtatis. Sounds like that happened after the fact. The fact is, if it happened beforehand, you have a few Rishonim already, Ritva, Meiri, that you would not be able to offer such an animal for the first place, even though, by the way, in their views, the animal may very well be fitting for the job, al yedei hadchak. But you still can't offer that. If someone comes to rent a regular animal from you, you can't give them this garbage animal, that would be mekach tos, they say. So this is only talking about happening afterwards. Now, let's go to the case of Derech Halichasa, which will get back to sort of how we viewed sofalachs or not sofalachs or things like that. Just in terms of laying out the two shitos, there are, of course, the two main shitos. First, laid out by Magid Mishnah. The first is generally associated with Rashi, which is it's going in the direction the renter is intending to go. And the other shita, which is Rabbeinu Hananel, which is that the animal was taken while it was out, not simply from within the house of the owner. So... Ramban, it's very interesting. I was particularly struck by this Yerushalmi here. There's a massive machlokas Rishonim by us as to who the Yerushalmi supports. The Ramban says that it's actually, this is a machlokas in the Yerushalmi, and maybe I should have brought out the Yerushalmi. It's an interesting Yerushalmi to read. And Ramban says, this is a machlokas in the Yerushalmi. One sheet holds like Rashi, one sheet holds like Rabbeinu Hananel. Beautiful, wonderful. Meiri just states, he's like, despite the fact that I like Rabbeinu Hananel's shot, the Yerushalmi clearly proves that Rashi is right. So basically, their argument goes around the case of the fact that it sounds like if it was taken from a kapandaria, you can say hareishal chalafanecha, but if it was taken from or through a silky, you have to provide another one. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So the Ramban understands this: if it was taken from a kapandaria, like while you were out on the road somewhere. Meaning, it was taken while you were out of the house, where it was taken from a silky. He understands the word silky to refer to a house. And he says this is exactly what Rabbeinu Hananel is saying in terms of the Derech Halichasa. But the Meiri and the Mefarshei Yerushalmi, like the Pnei Moshe, understand, no, this is the path that was taken once the government took the animal, whereas the Kapandaria is the shortcut getting to where you wanted to go, and the silky is a long, winding road that's not where you want to go. And therefore, they explain this according to Rashi as well, and in which case, both Cheetahs would be going like Rashi. Just an interesting discussion, though. Very, very many Mefarshim prefer Rabbeinu Hananel. In general, never mind in the Rambam. In the Rambam also, it's clear that the Rambam is following Rabbeinu Hananel, as we talked about a little bit before here, but it's pretty clear. Yes, I wrote, I'm not aware of any dissenting views. In terms of the other interpretations, there is that Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, who says that, what does it mean, derech halichasa or not? If it was returning to the owner's house, then the owner doesn't need to then the owner can say, hareishal chalafanecha, that's derech halichasa, but if it was in the house, then he has to provide him another one, and that therefore he brings all sorts of nafkaminas that go back to Schiris Polim. That's not something that really people discuss or care about all that much, even though technically it is a different way to read these phrases. Now, why is it that only in derech halichasa the owner is exempt from providing a new animal? What makes Derech Halichasa special? So we've laid out what Derech Halichasa is, but what are the svaros behind that? So, let's take a look at Rashi's approach to start off. According to Rashi, the owner has the right to tell the renter to rent another animal and follow them until they release the donkey. And this is really what we read before in Rashi, Ereshul Chalafanach. We can read it inside. Shekein derech angaria notel chamorno shel zeh umahalech ve'alei acharev v'chol chamor shepokea bo rishon lotlo umachzer lo shelo v'asheni choser acher chamor ad shepokea ba'acher hilchach omer lohoel va'af mazal chagaram schor chamor acher ve'leichachra v'chiyivka b'chamor acher. So in summary, basically, it's your lot. It's your bad luck, and therefore rent another chamor and go after it. Now this is a little bit hard to understand. If we're actually going with an approach of bad luck, and we're saying that it's af mazal chagaram, it's hard to understand Rashi's explanation of the case altogether. If Rashi's svara is to say that in the case, if it was taken b'derech halichasa in the direction that this person's going, then it's mazal chagaram. But no, if it was going another direction, then it's not mazal chagaram. How is that possibly related? Rashi makes no sense. And the truth is, you can look back, by the way, to Rashi on the Mishnah, and Rashi on the Mishnah, if you look back there, and I don't want to cover up my recorder here, Rashi says, in Haresha Chalfanacha, V'gabe Angaria, Nami hamtina chetashuv she'af mazal chagarm v'nafsit shneinu. There again, Rashi's pulling in mazal chagarm, and it's very hard to understand what Rashi's fara actually is, based on his chiluk. Meaning, if Rashi was explaining Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation of what derech halichasa means or doesn't mean, that would make perfect sense. Yeah, there I could hear a discussion of mazal chagarm. But what's going on with mazal chagarm here? Also, if you see, he says in that Rashi which you just read, Nami hamtein ad shetashuv. Hamtein ad shetashuv sounds like maybe there's only a delay in time, which we see other Rishonim are medayek as well, that maybe it's because it's not so significant a loss. That's obviously a very different reason than the case of mazal chagaram. So we see two ideas that sort of may pop up in Rashi. One is very, very clear, the mazal chagaram. The other reason is that it may not be significant, a significant monetary loss or even a monetary loss altogether. It may just be a time delay. So the question is, how do we square this and fit it in with what Rashi is trying to say? What are the approaches that we see people explain in Rashi? Question?
Are you trying to say that mazal chagaram doesn't seem necessary?
Mazal chagaram, not that it's not necessary, it just doesn't line up with the svara at all.
Meaning, you could have just said...
Mazal chagaram should have nothing to do with derech halicha or not.
Well, I don't think it does, but you could say that you need it, because even if it's derech halicha, I mean, come on, like, why should I have to go and learn chamor?
So this is what we're going to see. Okay. That's essentially saying, though, that the chiluk between derech halicha and not derech halicha is not... Correct. It's not mazal chagaram, but it's an extent. Correct. And what I'm trying to figure out is how different achronim have read, later rishonim, have read this mixture. So, one way to read it, which I believe and this is based on Tiyukim, this is certainly not explicit, but I believe this is the way the Shilta Yagiborim understood, and you can look up the Shilta Yagiborim and see that he really de-emphasizes the idea of mazal chagaram altogether. And he says, basically, he doesn't quote the line of Rashi saying Schor Hamor Acher. And what this group of people in Rashi will say is that Schor is Lav Dafka, but you need to follow it in some way. And you see in other places, go with them. You see in other Rishonim and similar reads of Rashi that just go along with them. Now, it could be that, you know, it may be quicker if he's Schor Hamor Acher and he goes with them as opposed to hanging along with the king's people. I don't know what the point is, but basically they de-emphasize the idea that you'd be required to rent a donkey and say it's not actually a requirement, it's an offer to the guy, but really if the guy wants to walk after it, that's the same thing, and that therefore it has nothing to do with mazal chagaram. They really downplay that svara altogether, and they say that's going to be the difference. If it's bederech halicha, so that's not going to be a loss incurred. If it's not derech halicha, however, there will be a loss incurred. It's not at all where the person's going. He's actually going to have to go way out of his way, and that's going to be even more of a loss in order to follow it. And that's the way that one answer would be.
Ezra?
Yeah?
If mazal chagaram is your bad luck, why can't you say, well, it's your bad luck, that even if it's in your direction, you still have to go around following it? Meaning it's also...
How is that bad luck?
Because that's not your plan. You intended to take this animal from A to B, and now instead of that happening, you need to worry about following these king's people around and worrying when you're going to get the animal back.
So you're saying it's a worry issue?
It's bad luck. I mean, it's not something you planned. It's an unexpected occurrence.
It might be bad luck, but it has nothing to do with derech halichasa. Whether it's derech halichasa or not derech halichasa, it's still bad luck.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, mazal chagaram sounds like it's a reason that he's chayiv. I think what Ezra's asking is, if the reason that he has to pay anyway,
right,
assuming he has to pay anyway,
right,
the reason he has to pay anyway is because, derech halichasa nitla, and you could just go and follow him, The question is, what does that have to do with Mazal Hagarim? Rashi might as well just set up to the deck. Go follow that.
Right.
Why is he adding Mazal Hagarim? And if he is adding Mazal Hagarim, what does that have to do with Darach Halik?
Right. That's the question. Just in terms of, explaining the question, I really didn't go through them in detailed fashion, but basically, Hagos, Maimonios, and Tosfos ask what Tosfos' question is and what Tosfos is trying to accomplish is a big discussion. I'm not going to get into that too much, but in simple terms, the simple two questions on Rashi are as follows. If it's simply about Mazal Chagarim, why does it make a difference which direction the animal's going in? That's a question asked by Hagos Maimonios. Or, again, if we are understanding Rashi as minimizing the loss, then how could Rashi expect the renter to rent another animal? Those are really the two questions that we had. And that's the simple read of the second of the Tosfos, to say, like, if Rashi is saying that you're not going to have a loss, how can he tell you go and rent an animal? That's really the simple read. Okay, Ritva. Ritva is a very interesting answer. Ritva answers Tosfos' question by noting that Rashi said Mazal Chagarim. Right? Rashi does say, so therefore, it's warranted for the renter to lose money here. And therefore, that's the answer to Tosfos' question. On the other hand, you know, it's still hard to say why there would be a chiluk then between if it was going in his direction or the other direction. I mean, if it's, at the end of the day, if we're going to say Mazal Chagarim, then Mazal Chagarim also in the other direction. Maybe you could say that, like, we can associate it to your Mazal if it's going in your direction, so that's a sign min hashamayim. Like, I don't know really how you could possibly explain this. It does answer Tosa's question, but it's still left.
I mean, somewhat like when you say it's in the house, it's outside of the house. And you go to Tosos. The Mazal Chagarim, if it's in the house, then
we're going with Rashi now.
Right. I'm saying the idea that where it's found has an impact.
But we're not going
with
that. Rashi is just talking about which direction it's headed in.
Right.
I'm still not sure why you can't say it's a combination. And I think then you could say the Mazal Chagarim, again, the reason that it's only a case of Derech L'Chasanilla is because if it was not Derech L'Chasanilla, it's just completely inconvenient for the person to have to get his thing.
And therefore what?
Mazal Chagarim won't be enough.
And Mazal Chagarim won't be enough.
You need number one that is Derech L'Chasa Natala, because then, look, what if you just follow the thing, you'll get it back.
You're saying Mazal Chagarim is invoked when there's not
this
a major
to
loss.
Think of it, like...
So really that ends up being the simplest approach, right? And that's taken by...
I think what you're pointing out with the Ribba is that maybe Mazal Chagarim is the explanation as to why, meaning, to say it this way, let's say, like, it's very far, you know, you're going against New York from Toronto. Mm-hmm. They have the king's chariots go fast. If you want to catch them, so that it's at all feasible for you to use this thing, you're going to have to go fast. So the only way for you to catch them is to get you're going to have to rent a chamor.
Right.
So then I think the Rif is saying, so then you could ask, if I had to rent a chamor, then what the heck was the point of all this altogether?
Which is Tosus' question.
And the Ripa says, you're right, but look,
Mazal Chagarim. Right. And
now,
the problem.
If it was a completely other way, then it's unreasonable. The point is that since it's still within my direction, I could still, like, essentially get the service I needed, then fine. If I had to go completely outside the thing, then, like, what?
Right, but again, but the problem is, again, as our Salvechik notes, and this is the simple approach, I think, to take this. At what point does it become significant? Let's say it's only a little bit out of your way. Let's say it's a longer journey. Like, you're really stuck as to having to decide when is it enough to say Mazal Chagarim and when not.
Can you say, like, Londish? It's almost like a kiyum in your schiros to begin with. If you're just going on the way. It's like a partial kiyum. I mean, once you have to leave your...
What's considered your way? That's what I'm asking. Even according to that.
Your way?
I'm saying you still have to come up with some way of... You still have to come up with some way of defining what is considered a significant enough monetary loss that we don't say... Again, it's a practical question, but it's just...
Define your way.
Correct. Meaning, if you're following just one of the two approaches, and you can fit that in with what Rashi's saying, then you're safer because you have a clear definition. When you're following, again, this combination of the Ritva, and again, the way the Rav says it, and other people as well... Which, again, is probably the simplest shot, that's all right? The simplest approach is taken by those people. But the problem is you really end up not knowing the halacha in any case where it's not 1,000% clear-cut.
I have a question.
But why is that explanation fault? That's just generally what Derech L'Chasa means, no?
That could be, but...
Meaning whatever
correct.
Figure out
correct.
How much Derech L'Chasa. Like,
correct.
What if I have to go
yeah.
5 minutes?
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
To this approach, if he needs to rent another donkey to follow it around, if it's 1,000% in the same direction, so the renter needs to pay the rent of the new donkey.
Yes,
but
and that's...
he have to pay the full amount to the owner for the...
Full...
For the donkey that was taken by the Angaria, will he have to pay the entire rent, or does he deduct for the period...
The rent
the
for this time, that's something that we're going to discuss later. It's a separate question. But good question, but separate question. Okay. Alternatively, you can pull what Tosfos does. Tosfos' answer to that question on behalf of Rashi is to establish it in a particular case where you don't actually need... Well, and I'm going to explain this because I don't think people get it when they think about it at first glance. Tosfos talks about a case where you only actually need the chamor to come back from there. What we're talking about is like this. Chamorim, again, as we know from this halacha, are generally for the sake of carrying merchandise. If I'm planning on going to New York and buying a whole bunch of stuff there and I need my chamor for the way back, therefore, according to Rashi, everything is resolved. I was planning on getting to New York anyways. I thought I was going to have to take this chamor along with me so I could bring my stuff back. Now the chamor is getting to New York on its own. I'm going to get to New York on my own. I would be renting it anyways, right? I'm flying to New York. I just would have had to take my chamor with me on the flight now that it was taken instead by the Angaria. If you establish the Gemara in that case, that's what Tosfos is talking about. Because again, in the first case, you look at Tosfos, oh, you only need it for the way back. You're like, so why are you renting it now? Like, it doesn't make sense. But that I'm just trying to shed some light on what it means. So that's, and if we establish the case like that, then as Tosfos notes, that's perfect for Rashi. Because then if it's going to New York anyways, you're like, great, see you in New York. And you can wave from the airplane window. Whereas, again, that's just a very limited case that we're going to have to establish in the Gemara. So those are sort of the different terus that the people give on behalf of Rashi. Rabbeinu Hananel's view. So it's explained in a few ways, ways that answer the questions, really, that come up with Rashi's approach. So just to recap Rabbeinu Hananel, if the animal was taken by the Angaria just because they happened to see it in the street, but they were not searching in houses, then the owner does not need to provide an animal because, again, it was only due to the mazel of the renter that it was taken. In fact, some people even note that not all animals on the streets were taken. And therefore, it's like especially a mazal chagar, meaning it's not like everybody that's out on the street has their animal taken, but it's like only some people, so it's really your bad luck. The reason why what that does is that answers, you know, why, like, how we can possibly, like, what would we tell the person? Like, what would we tell the person, like, oh, you shouldn't have taken out the chamor, like, to do your work? What are you renting it for if not to take it outside and do your work? So someone's like, oh, it's only some people that are getting it. It's an attempt to answer that question. But we'll go through it more concretely now. Again, on the other hand, because in that case we say, had it been in the possession of the original owner inside his house, it wouldn't have been taken. Therefore, we can say mazal chagarin. On the flip side, if the government parties were taking animals from inside the houses, even if this particular animal was taken on the street, but so long as the government party themselves are actually looking through the houses and they're actually taking animals from the houses in general, then it is considered, so to say, the owner's bad luck, the master's bad luck, and therefore he would have to provide another animal, again, even if it was taken on the street. This can be understood logically in a few ways. Simple approach, so long as the renter is for sure responsible for it, meaning so long as we can say it is the bad luck, the mazel of the socher, then the owner doesn't need to provide another animal. Here we say that it's the mazel of the socher. Therefore, again, you don't need to provide another animal. This is where this whole discussion then comes up. If we're in fact going to say that it's only when the renter is responsible, so at what point is the renter responsible? For example, why should this case be any different than a broken limb, than nishbara? Why is it that in Ishbara the masker does need to provide another animal, and in this case he won't? So you have to come up with the chilukim that basically all the achronim just try to assign more and more and more and more and more and more blame to the socher here and say, oh, the socher shouldn't have taken outside, or if he taken outside this. And the point is, we're trying to say very much that so long as we can blame the socher, then the masker does not have to provide another animal, and that's the agreement that they have. Alternatively,
can you say that slightly differently? I don't know if you have to just I don't know if you want to
go on. Yeah, which is, yeah.
That it's not about blame as much as was the ikov noveya from the animal itself or from a sort of side situation that prevented you from using it. Meaning, nishpara is a case where the animal itself is defective.
Well, right. So we will discuss that as to the.
So then you have to have a high between. So in terms right, of right, case versus right, nishbara, fine.
That's a fair answer. Yeah.
But I just like it more because I think it's more like.
Right. I mean, then you end up with the questions of nishdates and nishbara, exactly. That's and fair. And that's people fair. End up looking back and saying, can we assign blame for a nishbara or for a mesa or for a nishdates or for a chalsa? Yeah, and we'll get that. That's fair.
I saw you could say that's mazal chagarim, but then what you're saying is mazal chagarim means that look, like this wasn't novea right. from the animal itself. I gave you a good animal.
Right. It was novea from
something
you.
Provided it from being used, so that's mazal chagarim.
Right.
And in the case where we can't say Mazal Chagaron, because clearly the reason that this happened was had to do with you as the right. Masker, then we're going to
say right. Okay. Yeah, there's, yeah, that certainly works. Iri, as well as, I believe, the Ritva, yeah, citing the Ravid, but also he says it's a Pshat and Ravina Chananel, is that they actually refine this even further. And they say what Rabbeinu Chananel is talking about is when this particular animal was, like, marked, and, like, the government's like, oh, you, Mr. Master, didn't pay your taxes, we're going to take your animal. And then he goes and rents it out to Mr. Socher, and Mr. Socher is walking in the street, and, like, boom. Okay? In that case, that's considered not derech halichasa. It wasn't just out for a walk. It was targeted. It was they were laying an ambush for it. However, the case of derech halichasa is like if Stam, they just decided to take it one day. Even if they Stam decided to come into houses and take it, presumably that would be the same halacha. Meaning it's a refined case where we're really saying that it was the fault of the maschir, and therefore he has to replace it. If it's not the fault of the maschir, then he doesn't have to replace it. So much so that the way the Ritva says, he says, it's just a simple case of mekach tos. Like the Sfara here, he says for Angaria, again, the difference between derech halichasa and not, he says, if it was shalob derech halichasa, meaning, again, they had marked this animal to take because the masker had done something wrong, he says it's just mekach tos. Like, the masker has no right to rent out such an animal that may be marked to the socher. And that's a different Sfara for it. But there are those who view it outside of the Sfara of mekach tos and just within the Sfara that we said before as to who is responsible and therefore do they need to, you know, provide another animal. Okay. These understandings do have weaknesses. Even Reino Chananel in general has weaknesses in that it really isn't a question of derech halichasa nitla or not. The simple read of the Gemara is, was it taken while it was out or not? Lemaisa, everybody agrees that, again, if it was taken while it was out, but they're searching within the batim, or if it was a marked animal, everybody still agrees that's not the case, so it's still a hard read of the Gemara. Nevertheless, people, again, do seem to like this. Again, the question as to what exactly mazal garam and how exactly do we define that is also a bit of a question. Fine. So therefore, now getting back to the Rambam. So we saw Sfaros for Nilkcha derech halichasa. However, why is it that what is the Rambam's thread in terms of assigning blame for Chalsa Nishtatis and Nilkcha Avodas HaMelech? Right, in which case the Rambam says, "Hamasner Omer Lasoch Areishal Chalaf Anachav Chayiv Litin Oskar Mishalim," meaning, how can we incorporate the cases of Chalsa Nishtates and Nilkcha Avodas HaMelech as all being cases where we say Areishal Chalaf Anachav? Why is that? So, first we'll look at it within the Rambam. According to some Mefarshim, such as those who played down the Rambam and say, "Oh, when the Rambam said Chalsa, he didn't mean all Chalsas; he meant only like very particular Chalsas that don't affect the usage," and they play this all down, and therefore they say there is no permanent damage or even a loss to the renter, but rather a delay in all those cases, maybe a very, very long delay in the case of Sh'afal Pish Ein Sof Alachzor. What exactly does that mean? There are people who try to read it as, oh, it's going to return at some point later, but that's a very far-fetched, very, very far-fetched read, and I don't think people actually say that, but nevertheless, you could make that argument based on the way that people read Chalsa Nishtates. Or that they would say Chalsa Nishtatis is for one reason that you can say Areishal Chalaf Anecha, meaning you can still use it all the Yadchak, and that Nilkcha Avodas HaMelech would be for a different reason, which is nothing to do with Al Yadchak. What would those reasons be? So, one possibility is that although the animal is really unusable in all the cases, in each of these cases, and this is the simple pshat that we say for everybody, the animal is alive, the animal is sort of technically still the animal that you've rented, meaning you're fulfilling your rental agreement. Your agreement was to provide an animal. This animal is still here. When it's dead, or when it broke its leg and it's essentially dead because they're just euthanizing it anyways. This is no position on euthanasia, by the way, for those listening online. If anybody will ever listen to this, I highly doubt. But anyways, just in case. The point is that you fulfilled your rental agreement. You provided the animal. The animal has some worms in its foot. Nah. The animal has a mad cow. Meh. Doesn't matter. The mice of this animal is still here. This animal, even if it's acting a little bit insane today, doesn't matter. You're still fulfilling your part of agreement as the master. Therefore, you just don't need to provide another animal. That's one simple approach. Alternatively,
he has to pay. remember.
Yeah, and the guy has to pay because he's 100% fulfilling this skiros. On the other hand, alternatively, someone can suggest that in all these three cases, in all of these cases, it was unforeseeable by the maskir, and therefore, they're considered to be mazal chagarim of the renter. Meaning this works especially well when you're talking about chalsa and nishtat as being absolutely unusable. But we're saying in the cases of mesa and nishbara, it's something that was foreseeable. You know when an animal is going to die. You know when an animal is hobbling along on its last legs and it's going to be toast. You don't know if one day all of a sudden it becomes insane, or one day it just gets sick all of a sudden, or if one day it's taken for the Avodas HaMelech. In all those cases, we can say it's mazalcha of the socher that is gorim. And those are sort of the two main. Nishbara, we're saying also, I mean, this read requires you to look at Nishbara as something that's cumulative and is something that's just going to get to a certain point rather than like a fluke thing. He stepped on a rock and it twisted its ankle and now it broke.
So foreseeability means it's mazal chagaram and it's the socher's fault and he has to pay, or the opposite?
Being foreseeable is from the perspective of the maskir.
Oh, so if it was foreseeable, then it's his fault. And then he doesn't get to have the
correct. Correct. Okay. That's the approach. And again, if you want marmakomos for these things, I can give you in terms of things. Okay, let's get... What time? How much time? Oh, you have more time than I thought. Good, Baruch Hashem. Okay. Here we go. Next line in the Rambam. Harei amaskar amasokha reishal chalfanach, as we said, v'chayev litein lo scharo mishalim. And he needs to pay his full wages. So...
Can I just make one more hara?
Yes.
I think it's important. The last malachim you said are really fundamentally very different.
Yes.
Because I think the way you're saying it is that according to Mr. Mahalo, fundamentally, he did not fulfill his agreement. He did not fulfill his chiyuv. The question is whether it's his fault or not.
Yes.
Whereas in the second thing, you're saying that he did, and therefore...
Yes.
Okay.
And that may have not come in as, by the way, I don't mention in terms of these Mahalchim, but I do mention in terms of another idea. This may have nafkaminas in terms of backing out of the agreement. These things have nafkaminas in terms of what needs to be paid. Are you paying partially? Are you paying full? Like, these things do have, sure have nafkaminas as to whether or not you fulfilled what you're doing, but there's an additional hefsid that you may need to replace or things like that. We'll get to that hopefully in due time. I don't know about this week, but unless you want to stay for all of lunch. Okay, getting on to the next part, which is Armei Amaskar Amalzocha Reishal Chalfanacha V'chayev Litein Lo Scharo Mishalem. What does it mean when the Rambam says V'chayev Litein Lo Scharo Mishalem? So, that sounds like the maskar has the right to go to the socher and say, you got to keep this animal, and essentially they're forced to use it. It's not like they have the choice to back out. Meaning, if you look in the Magen Mishnah here, it brings Ravid, and you can see the Ravid in the Ritva, you can see the Ravid in the Shita Mikubetzes. You cannot see the Ravid commenting here, by the way, in Hasagos HaRavid, which is very interesting, and I'm going to get back to that in a little bit. You can see it in the Rashba. That basically, Hareisha Chalfanecha means that the maskir doesn't need to provide another animal, but nevertheless, if the socher doesn't want to use this animal, they have the right to basically return it to the maskir and say, goodbye, I'm not going to pay you. Meaning, at this point, basically, the renter has the right to back out. That's the way that the Ravid sees it. And they, therefore, understand Rambam is disagreeing with this, saying that once you've already agreed into the agreement, once you've already entered the agreement is not invalidated at this point just because your animal got sick. And therefore, the renter cannot back out, and you need to pay the owner, even if he stupidly would decide not to use the animal. Even if he would say, I'm not using this, too bad, he still has to pay. He cannot back out, and this should be obvious, but people still note it. It doesn't matter whether or not the rent has been paid already. If it wasn't paid, then he still has to pay him. There's no difference there. Now, what's the argument in terms of explaining the sfaras? Ravid holds that since the animal is still damaged, meaning the animal, or especially if the animal won't be returning when it's taken from the government, you can't make someone pay for that. Like, it's literally not usable right now. The Rambam, on the other hand, would feel like, no, again, what we said above, either whether you're going to say it's the mazal chagaram element, or you're going to say that it's that you are fulfilling your schirus even when you have an animal like this. Nevertheless, again, you can still consider it. You can still consider one chayev to pay even in this circumstance. That's a machlokas. Now, to take it further, it's still hard to understand why you should differentiate in terms of just this detail. Meaning, If in fact you're not fulfilling the schirus at all, then what's this idea of Harei Shalcha Lefanecha? Meaning, according to the Ravid, we should say, take it a step further. Why don't you have to actually give him the animal? Give him a new animal. Again, I see a couple of confused faces.
I got you.
The Ravid is coming from the perspective of saying, really, it's off. Okay? The animal is not usable right now. It sounds like you're not really fulfilling your part of the agreement. So what's going on? If so, why shouldn't you have to provide another animal as the maskir? So in Shiur Rav David, he explains it in a bit of a lamdish way, schiris lebasof and schiris mitzchila. But the point is to say that at the end of the day, even the Ravid agrees that the rental agreement is still betokef, but if at the end of the period of rental the work couldn't have been done within that time, then the rental is invalidated. But until that point, we can't actually say that. It's a lamdish idea. The point is to illustrate that even the main point is to illustrate that even the Ravid holds the rental is still valid at this point. The Ravid is not completely uprooting the rental. If that was the case, then he'd have to provide him a new animal, and he would back out always. That's about right. As deep as I got on this. I didn't, right. You know.
I'll just like I feel like just maybe sum it up a little differently. Maybe you could say that when you do a kiyum tziras, even though you're kone that you're going to use this animal, but you still only pay per the usage of the animal.
Right, that's a better way to put it. That's essentially the same thing that he's saying, yes. Yeah,
you can't be chozer, right?
He's saying at the end, we analyze your payment based on your usage.
So you didn't use it at all.
But, right, correct. But that's only something we can do right. Later on. It's not like it cancels it now.
Right,
yes,
right.
That's a much better way to explain it than me. A little bit tongue-tied there. Okay, in terms of the... You know, in terms of the support, there's this whole discussion around the Tosefta. Everybody brings in the Tosefta to support the Rambam. The Ramban likes the Rambam against the Ravid. If you want to see more people that support the Ravid, there are. There's also a debate, a really weird debate, even within the sheets of the Rambam, that let's say the task will never be completed, which is basically the way that we explain the Ravid explicitly. But let's say he says, in the case of Angaria she'ena chozeres, if even the Rambam will agree there that you have to give money, because that's just so hard to understand. Like, and there are people that read the Rambam, the Mabit in Tshuvos, Chelek Aleph, Simen Mem, actually says that if the animal will never complete the task, then there's actually no need to pay. The Machne Ephraim does not agree with this, for good reason, I think. Okay.
So would that same question apply also to those who say the Chalta means Chalta completely can't do anything?
Very good. Yes. So it would probably apply to that as well, I think. And in fact, if you look into Tosafot Rabbeinu Peretz, he distinguishes between the cases of illness and angaria as to, it's like sort of like an intermediate view that if it's a case of, so when it comes to chalsa, in his view, you always need to pay the full schar mishalem. However, in the case of angaria, if it was Chirus Yom, then the renter doesn't need to pay. If it was Kablanos, he does need to pay. It's just an additional shita, but we're not going into that. Okay.
I think the reimpairance thing costs means you're completely inusable.
I don't know if that's the case. I don't believe so. I think that, as Netanel said, he would say that it falls under the case of Angari in that case. I think Arena Paris just follows most other Rishonim who say that Chalsa does not completely debilitate the animal. One read that I think is not that crazy a read. And I don't think, because we don't see this, we're not thinking in this way, but perhaps, and I didn't see people say this, but I really think you could make a strong argument for this. One might have thought that maybe for a broken animal or things like that, maybe people would say you should pay a lesser rate. Meaning, establish it as if the schirus mitchila
right.
was for this animal, in which case you would pay a lesser rate. And maybe that's what the Rambam's responding to. No. V'chayav litin lo scharo mishalem. Harei shel chalef anecha is pure 100%. We're not compensating for the fact that you have this slightly worse animal now. And if that's the case, it has nothing to do with whether or not you're paying for the amount of time that is gone or it's not gone. That's not what the Rambam's trying to come to say. And if you understood the Rambam that way, then it also makes sense why the Ravid wouldn't come and say his shita that's quoted by literally everybody in the world other than the Ravid and argue on him. I mean, if I'm the Ravid and this is my Shita, as it's quoted by the Rishonim, like, this is exactly where I would disagree with the Rambam. Right? I would say, Amar Avram, Ein Zdenachon, Ela, Enosh Chayev Litein Lo Svaralim. But he doesn't say that, so I'm wondering if maybe You could say that the Rambam was looking at it just in terms of the Scharo Mishalem element. The fact that you're paying the full wages don't detract because of the status of this animal. Even if you are paying, you could argue that, you know, if you're detracting, then that's like not paying for the days that it's available, and that's what it's going to end up being, which is why I think no one says this. Okay, let's continue. B'med for Mamurim. So, what does the B'med for Mamurim apply to? We say, B'shesachar lasis olav masir she'efshir lashlicha v'lo akpada. Al musachar lirkov aleo lasir aleo klei tzchukhiz yotzev en chayv lahamid lo chamor acher im sachar mimenu chamor. Okay, so basically there's going to be a difference in some cases, which we're going to see in a moment, between hiring out for the sake of carrying cargo. Should we pause?
No, I'm okay, fine.
In the case of Amed Varmorim, there will be a difference between the case where it was for the sake of cargo or for where it was the case of either carrying fragile items like Leis Chuchis or for riding on. The question is, which cases does this apply to? So, by the way, just to give you some background in terms of this case over here. So, what does Mamed Varmorim respond to? If you're reading the simple Rambam, is that means all three cases that he mentioned before, Chalsa, Nishtatis, and Nilkecha Lavodas HaMelech, will be different if the animal was rented for the sake of riding or carrying these fragile items. If you look, and the Migdal Oz upholds this view, he writes it very explicitly here, is the early one. Magid Mishnah, who rejects this, does actually believe that some versions of Rif may have actually had a similar Kirsa, which may have been the source for the Rambam. The Ravid disagrees, and he says no. He says only Nishtates is what this applies to. And the reason for this will be discussed in a moment. The Magid Mishnah says, no, it applies to both Chalsa or Nishtatis. Now, in terms of the discussion between the Magid Mishnah and the Ravid, this actually depends on your Girsa and the Gemara. The Gemara, as we said earlier, quotes to Tosefta 7.5, that writes the following language. You can look at it in the Gemaras in both cases, right? Asochar sachamor lirkov aleha. And then you have the following things. V'im o shenishtatza. You have a blank there. Apparently in earlier versions of the Gemara, for example, that which the Magid Mishnah said, it says, Umesa o shenishtatza. If it died or nishtatza, then chayiv lehamid lo chamor, then you would need to give a chamor. According to the Magid Mishnah's Girsa of the Gemara, he says that's exactly what the Ravid had in front of him. Therefore, the only case where we say there's a difference between Lirkov and not Lirkov is in a case of nishtatis, because the other case that the Braisa mentions of Mesa, anyways, chayiv lehamid lo chamor. So really, the only nafkamina is in which case? Nishtatis. And therefore he says that's where the Ravid gets it from. It's based on his Girsa of the Gemara. Say the only chiluk that we see is in the case of nishtatis. We then also say, however, the Magid Mishnah notes, that if you look in the Tosefta, and even though his Gemara had the Girsa of the Ravid, he says, but if you actually look at the Tosefta itself has the Girsa of Hivrika, what our Gemaras have, Oshten Nishtatza, in which case, says the Magid Mishnah, both cases should be modified by this Bamed Dvarim Amurim. However, he's not willing to say that the Rambam would be going on all three cases, mainly because of the Svaros involved. I mean, like, what kind of bizarre Svaro would you have to come up to in order to explain this? And we will get to that right now. So basically, we have this through Machlokes, the Ravid who says it only applies to Nishtatis, based on his Girsa of the Gemara, the Magid Mishnah who says it applies to Nishtatis and Chalsa, based on his Girsa of the Tosefta, and finally, the Rambam, being read simply, either because that was the Girsa of the Rif, or just because the Rambam decided to say that, why though? So now that we've outlined these three shittos, so what could be the svaras? Why would it be shayach to say only by nishtatis? Why would it be shayach to say by the case of nishtatis and chalza? What's going on here? So, here's where you guys know more than me, because I didn't see the Aruch HaShulchan ever inside, but I saw a few different approaches to this. The question is, what's the difference when it's actually rented for the sake of riding or for carrying glass vessels? So, the simple approach, which most of the Rishonim take, Rashi, and many others say, an animal that is mentally or physically ill may fall at an inopportune time, and you don't want to imagine what can happen if the animal is holding a human or glass vessels, meaning if it's holding something that we don't care if it falls on the ground, so no. If a human or glass vessels fall on the ground, that may be the end of them. And this will work perfectly with the Magid Mishnah. When we have an animal that is ill in some way, it may drop the load. When you have an animal, again, that, as we said, is nishtates in some way, it may drop the load at any time. And therefore, that's the reason why Lirkov Shani. Lirkov Shani is because since in these cases it's not able to fulfill what it had been intended to do, meaning the intention of when I was hiring it was so I can ride on it. Now, with this animal, I just can't ride. It's not fit at all. In this case, it's like it's Mesa. That would be sort of the argument there. You could argue this in Ravid as well, by the way, in terms of, again, as we said, explaining the Svara, meaning Ravid for sure said it because that was his Girsa of the Gemara. There's no question that that's the case. However, the question is to this, applying this far. You could apply this far of Rashi to the Ravid as well. You'll say, listen, the Ravid holds that in the cases of Chalsa, it becomes blind. It's not a concern of falling. It just maybe makes it harder to work with. But if an animal's blind, it's no more likely to collapse all of a sudden. And therefore, only in the case of Nishtatza, where it may suddenly throw itself on the ground because it's crazy, that's where you could apply this far, and that can work as well. What this cannot absolutely 1,000% not work with is, again, the simple read of the Rambam, the Mevorim applies to all three cases, even the case of Angaria. How would that possibly make any sense? As we saw, that was upheld by the Migdal Oz, and may have been one version of the Rif. That was just because you're out for that. So, we have two approaches to this that you see in Mefarshim on the Rambam here, Mekarev Samishneh and Evan HaAzel. Mekarev Samishneh does note, by the way, according to Rashi, he says we should just note that it's actually a very expansive case, it's not just Klei Zchuchis, but it's actually anything that might fall off somewhere along the ride and get ruined. So he says, let's say you have Big Day Meshi, I think was his example. He says, they fall into a puddle, they're going to get ruined. So those also, if that was your intention to carry, and he said, so he says you end up having a very expansive case, which is fine. I don't think that's an issue, just to note that that would be pshat in people who say this, and if they follow Rashi. He seems to say, he says, no. Whether this depends on whether or not it can be properly unloaded and stored in a safe place during the delay that's going to be occurring. Meaning, you start riding on your donkey, now it gets sick, or now it gets angariad, or whatever the case may be, as we're going to see, can apply easily to all three cases. It depends. In the case of regular items, I'm carrying a box. So I take the box, I walk into the inn, I say, do you have a locker I can use? And they say, sure, and you put your box in the locker, and that's the end of the case. However, you know, or you throw it in someone's garage along the way, in a base Maloney, says, now, well, you have to pay for this. I'm not going to get into the details of paying, and because I don't want to get back into that again, but you get the idea. However, when it comes to have to unload all these fragile items, you can't just throw them in one of these places. What are you going to do? And he says, the person also, like, what are they going to do? They just can't go into storage for 3 days and just wait till the Angaria returns it, or just wait till whatever it else happens. So he says, therefore, that's the difference between Lemasoi versus Lirkov, and to bring these things, and this will work with the Migdal Oz. No matter what the reason is that you're delayed, it depends on whether or not you can properly do these. This is the Merkavis HaMishnah's explanation, and it's simply based on that, Svara, to say that, therefore, and presumably, by the way, I didn't think to go into more detail on this, but to say that... he does talk about this. Merkavis HaMishnah notes, I don't know if this is me or the Merkavis HaMishnah, but basically the question is, what is Mechayev the person in this case to offer up a new Chamor? This is, I think, a very basic yesod. According to Rashi, why do you need to offer a new Chamor?
Which case?
According to Rashi's view of the Lirkov Shani.
Ah.
Why is it that you need to offer Chamor? What did we say? You didn't fulfill the agreement.
Right.
However, the Merkavis HaMishnah seems to say that it's not considered fulfilling the agreement. Enoch Namid is considered fulfilling the agreement, but because you're going to cause me this loss, you have to provide me a chamor based on that. Okay,
for
just...
Him.
Because it's going to be a loss for the socher...
Is the Merkav's mission in the Rambam?
Merkav's mission is working in the Rambam in all three cases.
Oh, you're saying he's explaining...
By the case of Lischar. By the case of Lirkov or yes. Yes, so the question is, why is that?
Right, again... The problem is that the Rambam then says in the Sakhar Menachem Lo Hamid Yazar Asar Yashrim Asar Kamash Kamash Allah.
That's exactly where he gets it from, because we'll get to that in a moment. Yes. Okay. Evan HaAzel, by the way, I didn't really read it through properly. Like, I just skimmed to them because I didn't have time for it. I'm embarrassed to say. But I mean, listen, there's a lot to do. He basically says that, from what I understand, hiring an animal sometimes involves hiring not the object, but the task. Therefore, in the case of Rechiva, in the case of Klei Zchuchis, he is renting it essentially for the task. Therefore, right, if the task is now unable to be completed, so then you got to get another one. If, however, he's just doing it for the sake of carrying things that he's not makbid about, then he's just simply intending to rent the animal, and therefore it doesn't have to be replaced. And again, this can work within the Migdal Oz as well. So that's another way of looking at it. And again, that would be the Migdal Ozes read of the Rambam, that B'med Vermur applies to all three, and it doesn't matter what the delay is, it matters what the original agreement was. And this touches on the original agreement. How much time do we have? Not very much time. So let me just jump down to that Rekev Samishna, then I'll say one other thing. Rekev Samishna, I talked about it later. But basically, from the fact that he says, Imlo ham mid yafsar aschar, v'chashev imo aschar ma shehalach ba, he's saying the fact that you get paid means if you weren't fulfilling the agreement altogether, it's possible the whole agreement would be null and void. Whereas because you just have to supply the donkey because you're causing a loss, he says, therefore, you're going to get the schar for chatzi aderach, just to respond to that. I don't remember where I wrote it here. I wrote it probably in the Svaros as to why you'd have to pay by stam and zeh. That's something that we're just not going to get to now. We have only 1, 2, 3, 4 pages left. Okay. I just wanted to talk, just to give simple pshat, and we'll stop with this because we just don't have the time, unfortunately. As soon as I start stam and zeh, it's going to be like, it's not going to stop for another 20 minutes. So we'll just go on to the next line of the Rambam. Chayev lahamod lo chamor acher im sachar mimenu chamor. What the heck does that mean? What is it? Like, he's like, oh, you have to give him a chamor if you rented him a chamor. So originally I was thinking about this, and it's coming up all sorts of creative ways to read this, which are all wrong. You just have to look to the pshat answers, which... What?
Yeah.
Correct, exactly. It starts off behema, and it switches to chamor. And therefore, he says, im sachar mimenu chamor, you have to give him a chamor. And in fact, some add in back into the Rambam, and if you're a sachar behema, you give that behema, which is a simple pshat. The question is then, what's the obvious question? Why is he switching? And what's the answer? There's a very simple answer that I don't think people thought about. Why does he have to switch from behema to chamor?
The function of the animal?
Correct, the function of the animal. The chamor is the one that's always being used to carry things. The sus is never used for that purpose. So when he's talking about the difference between sachro and masui, it has to be a chamor. Because that's where the case arrives differently. In a chanami, if technically this happened to another animal, it would be the case. But the Rambam likes to speak in general enough terms because he has to go back to chamor here. That's why you end up with this line, im sachar menu chamor. But if it happened to be another animal, then it was another animal. I think it's just better to stop here for the sake of this. I feel bad that we didn't get into, again, Stam and Zeh, where I have another 4 pages on this, but that's what it is. That's sometimes how it happens.
Save it next week, do you like?
Yeah. I could say no. I might have to do it next week.
Shkaya.